This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamoto, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future.
Today we have with us
Jensine Jepson Pro.
And I'm Vicky Marie Buchanan. So welcome back, Jensine. We've had some wonderful stories from your childhood. Tell us about then how that connected to what you went on to do in your life.
Right, well, I ended up at secondary school, Horowhenua College, and I was very lucky. I got into their top stream classes. Yes, the classes were streamed in those days. Mm-hmm. And you were expected to do something academic, but I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to be. I had said a nurse. Dad was not encouraging me at all. Then I had said a teacher. Yes, I got a lot of encouragement for that. And then I said a florist, and I got a lot of encouragement for that. Now, being a teacher and being a florist had arisen out of my childhood.
Mm.
And the things I had done at home for my parents and the things I had done at school. So I was left with that. Now, I did not feel I was that terribly academic at secondary school, because now, for the first time in my life, I've been streamed with other students who were very bright. Very, very bright. And something I hadn't seen before, they were so competitive.
Ah, right.
Oh, my goodness. That was the biggest shock to me ever. People wanting the best marks. What? This just had me puzzled. I thought you just got in and did your work.
Yes.
And like it had been a primary school.
Yeah, yeah.
That when we had finished our quota of work, we went out to do the school gardens, or we went and helped those children who were less able.
Yeah, yeah.
But here, it was actually to get the marks. Well, naturally, I didn't do too well, because I wasn't interested in that. And if a subject I enjoyed it, I did very well at it. And if I didn't think much of it, I just sort of went along very average. And yes, those children were bright.
Right.
They really, really were. Even the numbers, the way they had selected us. We were a class of 30 students, but there were only 12 girls.
Wow.
That class.
And they came from all around
the area. They came around the area, although most of them came from Levin itself, but some of them were rural. Yes, I can remember we had two boys from Shannon, and they were a bit like me. Oh, what's this competitiveness? I can tell you. Because they didn't step up to the mark, they got put out.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Well, yes, they were. Yes, they were put out. They were made to go to the B class, and it's a wonder they didn't put them down to C or D class. Because I do know that by the end of the year, they'd said, "No professional class for us. We're going into the trades." They didn't like this concept at all.
Right.
That was two boys, but. Yes, and I can remember one boy in our class being very, very anxious, and he would worry and he would fret and really work. He almost studied himself to nuts.
Poor boy.
He would be stressed about it every day. Lovely boy. But I don't think that competitiveness did him much good. For me, it didn't really matter too much, except that I suddenly realised, hello, I just couldn't rest on my laurels. That if I wanted to get some decent marks or prove something, I had to do some work. And I'd have to do some homework.
Yes.
And I'd have to keep up with that. So Yes, we sort of, in that class, considered ourselves a bit elitist. I don't know why. But we somehow did.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm not in favour of pets quite so strong. Streaming of children. I think we might have been better with the balance, because I do remember the next class down from us, they had all the fun in the school.
Right, that's
funny. Oh, they really did. They'd go out to play tennis and four people would be out there on the court, and then there'd be six, and then there'd be 10, and then there'd be 20, and then there'd be four balls going.
And guess what, they probably did manage to do all their school
work. And they did manage, yeah. And they did go on,
yeah.
And did just yeah. did just as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And without this, oh no, that's not the way we do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This was back in the 60s, was it?
That was in the 50s.
50s, okay.
And we were streamed, yes.
Right, no,
I was teaching by the time I was in the 60s. And
streaming's gone on for years,
yes, it
though,
has,
hasn't it?
Yeah. In different forms and whatnot. And it was just the A class which was so strongly streamed, and there were some very bright children in the B class,
right?
Who, for one reason or another, had gone into the B group, but they were the class to be in. They really were.
Right.
And looking back now, they had all the fun of the school.
Right. So you were there, and you were having to make decisions.
Yeah, to make decisions, and I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do. I looked back at my own, and I looked at the way I'd worked with lots of children who weren't able to do their schoolwork through primary school, with the very big classes and the many hours that I had spent with children. And the big classes we were in, I can remember that we would be given, once we'd finished our quota of work, we was always set a quota. Once we'd completed that, we initially take out two or three children out to the bike sheds.
Right.
Or to what once had been the horse sheds at the school. And we would work with them in there and get them up to speed. Now,
like just giving them one-on-one?
One-on-one or two-on-one. And most sometimes you'd get three children to work with, particularly when it was for reading skills.
Right.
You would work with them. And once they had worked with you maybe half an hour, you felt that they knew their work now, you were allowed to take them back into class, and they would look at the children and see if they had achieved what you said they did. And if they had, good. Now you were allowed, if you were a boy, you were allowed to go out and mow the school lawns with the lawnmower, the hand one. You said in the rugby field was mowed by hand.
Wow.
Well, we were allowed to go out to the flower gardens, and again we were given free range what we wanted to plant. We could bring our plants from home.
Right.
We were taught how to prune roses.
Great.
Taught how to the care of different things, and then the boys got the vegetable garden.
Oh,
they were so lucky. Now, they would weigh the potatoes that they were to plant.
Yes.
Before they went in,
yeah,
and how far apart they were put, better be one row, and someone had a different way to do the second row, and then mound them up and do them all the correct ways, and then we'd wait for them to grow, and we looked at different varieties, and then we would all assess when it was time to harvest.
Now, I'm wondering with this, because remember you were talking about your father planted by the moon.
Yes.
Did that influence you on talking to people, or was that a practice that some of the other students did?
Well, we also did planting by the moon at school.
Ah, right.
We did that too.
Right.
We, because we came from a families. Our school when I was a child was about third Chinese, one third Maori, and one third Pākehā.
Right, right.
So that was an interesting grouping because it meant that any group was the minority.
Yes.
Every group.
Yes, yes.
We were all the minority group.
Yes.
Because there were the other two cancelled us out. And even some of the Chinese still used some of the plantings by the moon too. So there was still a lot of these ancient ways in practice.
Great, isn't it,
in
really?
In different ways, yes. Mm. And also some of the modern ways.
Yes.
And I can remember the Chinese community saying that 1 year and three you would get a good harvest. And you might have two poor years where you're just scraping through on what you're earning.
Mm.
Your third year, it'll be great. And the next year might come right on top of your good last year.
Yes, yeah.
And then you'll have two lean years.
Right, right.
Yes, two lean years, one. And it did work out that way. It even did with the school plantings. Yeah. We looked at a lot of things.
Yes, yes.
We did have forward-thinking teachers there. Even to as far as the weather, we all kept a weather chart every day, and we sent it down to the Met Office in Wellington.
Ah.
Our weather charts, we would go out and we'd measure what percentage of different clouds, nimbus, stratus, nimbus, clouds, and we would measure out in four quarters, say what percentage you felt of the cloud was around that day, whether it was that be all written. We would have a weather gauge, how much moisture collected, and what our temperature on our school thermometer was.
Wow.
And we would keep that, and then at the end of the month, we would send that away.
Check it off.
And then we would check it off for sometimes from the year before's records.
Yes, yes.
And see whether there was patterns.
Was there?
Yes, there were patterns. But of course, summer to winter.
Yeah, right.
It did show that there were patterns when we looked at it overall. Mm. We did a lot of maths around that.
Mm, yeah.
So I had had this. Now, suddenly I was in this academic class where this sort of thing didn't occur.
Yeah. Right,
at secondary school, you see, can see why I felt a little bit like a fish out of water.
Yes.
I'd come up with all this very practical, good teaching, practical understanding.
Yes, great teaching to the real world.
And then suddenly I'm in this academic group and it's all about the marks.
Yeah, yuck, yes.
And it was a little bit... So as a result, because you had to learn all your verbs for French, I did very well in my first year, but I didn't enjoy it. So the second year, I said, oh, I'm going to give it up. And so I'd made up my mind at the beginning, but now I wished I had worked. Because I still ended up with around about the same mark, same position in class, but I hadn't worked, but I'd already made up my mind I was not going to continue with French.
Right, right.
And I think that was a bit of a loss to me if I had gone right through. Because funnily enough, the little bit that I learned, I remember still.
Well, I did tell you for form two.
Yes, I remember it still, but it was only a little bit.
Yes, I know.
And what have you, and I think, I should have learnt, and then maybe I would have learnt to speak Māori in the same way.
Right, yes.
But Māori was not encouraged.
No, it wasn't happening.
Now, we were getting back to career choices. I was puzzled. However, the way we had career advisors came through and I talked to them, and then it sort of had worked out that, hello, this class of 12 girls we were in, two or three wanted to go nursing, and the rest of us wanted to go teaching. And we were not encouraged to go on and do university work. But there were a couple of girls whose parents said yes, they have to go on to university in the class because their parents had professional jobs. Mm. They were daughters of lawyers and things. And so they were told they were going to get on. So I didn't think about that. And when it actually came to the time, I really did make up my mind I was going teaching.
Right.
And then thought, right, it would only take me a couple of years to pick up floristry if I didn't like it.
Right, right.
But it was never the case.
No.
And I still feel that I've made the right choice because I did go to floral art groups and things like that earlier days, and they were great, and they just came at pleasure, I think, for me.
Which is
for
nice
pleasure.
Too.
Yes, and gardening became a pleasure for me. Of course, now I'm too old and find it dynamite because I can't do it.
Yes. And, so teaching, you went to Wellington Teachers College?
Went to Wellington Teachers College.
3 years?
And no, we were definitely only 2 years. Mm. I was, at the time, they were so short of teachers in New Zealand, the late 50s, that they needed teachers badly. And they were bringing in the pressure cooker ones, that people who had worked till they were 21 and wanted to go teaching, they could do the year's course and become teachers.
Wow.
We were certainly not encouraged to go and do any varsity papers. In fact, we were told, well, you needn't bother staying here because we need you out in the classroom. And they taught us a lot of practical skills to work with. We did do some theory, we did do Piaget and a few of those theorists and what they're in education, but it was mostly the practical work. And we had spent probably 1 year, the 2 years I was at Teachers College, actually in classrooms.
Right, going on
and
section.
Going on section. Yes. And we would go to different ones. And yes, and you certainly began to see what made a good teacher and what made...
You do, don't you?
You would see that and you would say, oh my goodness. Oh, yes. And there were some lazy ones too, way back then.
Still are.
Yes. There,
you know,
some
people,
very lazy
it?
Ones.
You know, there's...
Who just would think, oh, well, no one care, no one will bother. And there were some that they weren't planned, they didn't move their kids on. And whereas my grounding at primary school, they had come into very good stead.
Yes.
You have to work with the kids if you want them to achieve. You have to, and you have to give it in such a way as that person learns, I can do it.
Yes.
I can do it.
And finding their door.
I can do it, and finding what they can do. But there were some teachers who just, didn't do very well. And there were other very good ones. And there were some... They were more interested in the theory of teaching. I don't know why they were even teaching.
It's a very rewarding. It's a very rewarding career, isn't it? Really,
it is,
but it is hard work, and
it is hard work.
It's changed over the years. What do you think some of the biggest changes have been?
What are the biggest changes?
I mean, you've been teaching for how many years?
Nearly 60.
Nearly 60 years.
Not quite. I was out of classroom for about 10 years. So,
10 years. And now you're relieving.
Again, I'm relieving.
When many of us are retired, you're relieving and going back practically, I hear, every day of the week.
Yes,
into
I know.
Schools.
Yes, I do.
So you have seen from those early days and your experiences of rural schools coming back into the city.
Yes.
And, what do you think?
Bringing back some things that are very good. One of them is the emphasis on phonetics, but sadly, I also think that some classes are going too far.
Yeah.
That they're basically, once you've got the basic blends and those initial letters and the sounds, you can work out virtually any word by looking then at the context it's in and the understanding of what you're reading, you can work out. what you do. So why are we going down this road? Because I think it will put some children off.
Going back to phonetics.
Going too far, too deep into phonetics. Too deep.
Yes.
Once you've got the word, that's all that matters.
Yes.
At one time I was a real stickler for spelling absolutely correctly. I don't think it matters so much now. After all, we do have our phone will correct us. My one corrects me and writes completely a different word.
Spell check on computers, isn't it?
Yes, spell
check's
there.
I think it's the understanding.
Yes.
Read the word, understand the word and understand the message behind.
Behind it, exactly.
And how much, if you don't read, you can't do a maths equation, you can't look at a problem, you can't do some research.
Exactly. And it does hold them back. In fact, I had a child. One child of mine who was severely dyslexic, still is, however, very, very bright. But he will still ask to spell just the simplest of words. But he will read using his phonetic approach any language and get the meaning. But when it comes to spelling, he just instead of saying, right, this is as good as I can do. Yes, it's a tricky one, but I think spelling is good if you can do it.
Yeah.
Spelling is great if you can do it.
And you've been working in many schools all around this area.
Yes.
Is there any school you haven't worked in? And we're talking about the Manawatū.
Yes, there are some schools I haven't worked in, quite a few schools, because you do tend to go back to the same ones.
Yes.
When I first started relieving, because I had taught at Monreb for so long,
right.
about 30 years,
right,
and prior to that, intermediate normal, and those
right.
are basically all I'd really taught in the Manawatū. I went back to those two schools. And then I thought, I'd always wanted to train in juniors, and I had had a Standard 3 class when I first started teaching. I thought, I need to look at going down. So I thought, right, I'll go right down to the very beginning. Because that's what I wanted to do. That's what I had trained for at Teachers College, because you were allowed to choose seniors or juniors.
That's right.
And I'd chosen juniors, and then because they were so desperate for senior teachers, and the principal had asked me at the first school I went to, he said, would you mind if I put you in a senior class? And I said, no, I can do it. And I thoroughly enjoyed it, so decided to stay there. But I thought, now is a chance, and so I went back. And so then I moved through. Now I don't mind what class I go into. Because it's the same thing all the way. You've got to teach the children, I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. Before you get any results.
And you've so giving
got
them that confidence.
Keep that confidence, keeping the work so that it's at a level. And some will improve so much, so quickly. Even in a day and what have you, you know. I'll get children that will say, oh, I can do it.
Yeah.
And that gives me,
yes,
as a reliever.
Yeah. Or any teacher.
A good feeling.
Yeah.
I can do it.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's just because you come in with a different approach.
Yes.
And, You don't know every child in the class when you go in as a reliever. But you'll find some here. And usually the ones who are being naughty, it's because they are having difficulties.
And they can't do it. That's a lovely note to finish on, really, isn't it? And all through your life journey of what you've shared on these interviews, I think there's been a common theme in there. I can do it.
I can do it from
your great parents, great grandparents, your parents, you.
Yes.
And you're giving that to the children, and I think that's a lovely message for us all to follow through with. No matter what challenges, I can do it.
Yes, I can do it.
Yeah.
It was probably what was wrong in secondary school. You can only do it if you're going to get the top marks.
You can do it.
But you
can do it. All the best in your future. I'm never going to say ending because you are going to go on and on, but it's a lovely message. I can do it. Thank you.
Good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.